Greetings in Jesus' name. When you think of employee-employee relationships, what do you think of? Well, with all of that, there's work involved. Something Marvin did say, somebody or everybody will be involved in an employee-employer relationship. That may be true, may not be true. If somebody's out in the garden, they're working. They are also serving somebody, even though the children can help, and the attitude the children have, it's just something to think about. With the employee-employer relationship, I would like to start with work as a basis. Discuss work and what it means and all of that before we go into the relationships between the two, the boss, the worker, however you want to term it, supervisor. Some credits I would like to give. A book, Taking Care of Business, Lee Jenkins. There's a this was recommended to me by Vernon. He had a topic at Cedar Crest, and I got some notes from him, there's a chapter in here that was most helpful. Owen Stutzman helped me on some things, too. My wife helped me in a tremendous amount of way, and the Lord most of all helped me. And tonight you're going to help, too. And so we're all going to have a good time tonight in discussing this. I say discussing, let's hear from you as well, about the subject and what the Bible has to say about it. Work is a creation principle. How is work a creation principle? Let's hear from you. Okay. It was there before the fall, okay? Joel, I think you had your hand up. Okay. Something else that God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. Dress and keep it. Keep it might, modern day term might be keep it looking good. Address it would be labor, tend, care for, till, that type of thing. And that was Adam's job prior to the fall. And I think he named the, later on, he named all the animals as God brought them to him to, that was part of his job. Work is not a result of the curse. It became more difficult after the fall, but it was not a result of the curse. Genesis 3:17, cursed is the ground for thy sake. 18, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth, and in the sweat of thy face you shall eat bread. And so it changed there at the curse with what God was asking mankind to do. What would you like to say thus far? No questions, comments. Okay, well, let's keep wheeling. Who's supposed to work? Who's supposed to work? Anybody that eats, okay. And why do you say that? Okay, that's right. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if one doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. It doesn't say, this is talking about able-bodied people. It doesn't mean that those that are elderly that can't, handicapped, it means those that are able-bodied and choose not to work, then they should not eat.
And let's also acknowledge that some work is more mental and some work more physical, for example. Some work more spiritual. And so even the elderly have work. Maybe they're prayer warriors. Maybe they visit others or write letters. And so there's quite a spread here when you really get down to what all we can do to contribute.
Thank you. I didn't think about that aspect for the elderly. Yes. This includes children, picking up their clothes, washing dishes, all the way up to grandpa and. Back to this verse about those who choose not to work. The welfare mentality, I don't like it. The system owes it to me. You know, I don't have to work. That's not what the Bible says. So, what are some general work ethics guidelines for us that are found in the Bible? Yeah, let's hear from you. Okay. 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 One point I have here is responsible to God, not only the employer. We had talked about this, doing this as unto the Lord, Ephesians 6:5. In verse 6, it talks about not with eye service, not doing it just when somebody's watching. If I would see Jesus as my employer, would I be more diligent and faithful at my job? That's a question that we can ask ourselves about that. Another point is it is God's nature to work diligently. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth, do it with thy might. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That was mentioned here earlier. And the golden rule applies, work. Any comments thus far? Any additional? Yeah.
One of the things I think of, not only the welfare mentality, not scriptural, it also militates against just general well-being, because we find fulfillment in working and doing something rather than just sitting idle.
Very good.
I think sometimes we have this ideal that it would be nice to just have all the money we need and not have anything to do, and we wouldn't have to work, and we could just do whatever we wanted to. But I believe, Julian and Brett, we get a lot of fulfillment in the work that we do, just as somebody who is out of work and doesn't. Or someone and wishes they could, or someone who is unable to work. You will find that there is a, that's not to say that there isn't a place for relaxing vacation, but we do get a good amount of fulfillment in doing something useful.
Yeah, very good, thank you. Oh, yes.
When we were first interacting with Interfaith Housing, they were polite and gracious, not particularly enthused. But after they had this work crew come in, they were very enthused. And then John Scott told me they had had groups of volunteers, but they weren't quite sure it was the net value it gained to them. So they didn't seem to have the service dogs to do good work and the labor. I think it's true that if we're living in a climate where formal schooling gets a lot of emphasis, importance, it has its place. And in a college classroom, they're not very likely to emphasize the importance of leading the manual labor. And I think that we, as a Sincerity Band Baptist, have an important contribution to be made. And what's happening here in Hutchinson is happening elsewhere where the cast fellows go out to work. And it's not something to be proud of, but it's something to value and to appreciate.
Thank you. There's a quote in this book I'd like to read. One of the primary purposes of work is to develop character. A job is not merely a task designed to earn money. It is also intended to produce godly character in the life of the worker. That gives, as it produces character, it also gives sense of worth, dignity in that. Lowell? Very good. Hard work doesn't promise success, but the lack of it spells failure. And that's a quote by somebody by the name of Mr. Chapman. I think I got it out of this book as well. Your work is an excellent commentary on your character. When people see you working, do they see you diligently? Do they see you couldn't care less? I'm here for the paycheck. It doesn't matter. Your work is an excellent commentary on your character. I hope we don't have that last attitude. Any comments before we switch gears and go to the employer-employee relationships? Lauren? Nathan, I think you had your hand up.
I appreciate what you said at the beginning about doing it as the Lord. I think in all of this, it's important, with all the value there is in the work, and the most important is that we are doing what God wants us to do and faithful in that. I guess I agree with what you said. I just don't want to lose sight of what is of most importance.
Some of you may have noticed that when Richard Brown led the Western Front some time ago, he was a former president of Krauss Plough, and he made this comment that of 25 applicants, it takes almost 25 applicants to have a reliable employee a year later. And that struck me enough that I called him and talked about it. I said, what's the problem? He said, well, he identified two areas. Sense of entitlement. These fellows
me, I guess that's a sad commentary of America. Was there another hand? Okay. The papers that you're... Oh, Orn? Laverne. Switching gears, the papers that you have, I forgot to give credit to those who returned some questionnaires I had out. Thank you for that. And this is kind of compiling ideas and thoughts from the ones I got back. I added some. That's where it comes from. And I figured it would be easier for us to see what we're looking at, having it on a paper in front of us. So that's why you have it, and you can take them home, and do I have an area I need to work in, or whatever. So there's a quote, or I don't know if it's a quote, where I got it, but there's a saying, would you want you working for you, as in, would I want me working for me? Am I diligent the way I would like for an employee to be diligent if I would be hiring him? And so that has helped me, and I'm saying that for you as well. Would you want you working for you? What would you like to say? Oh, one more comment I'd like to make. This list of things, now the top one, lives by the golden rule. Yes, that is biblical, but doesn't take costly mistakes out of paychecks. That's doesn't say that in the Bible, thou shalt not do this, but there's a principle behind it that it's talking about. Just one comment about that, taking costly mistakes out. An employer had an employee make a $600,000 mistake, and I don't know what it was. Somebody said, are you going to fire him for that? And he says, why would I want to fire this employee for this mistake? He has learned a valuable lesson that's worth $600,000. Why would I like to discharge him and give him this lesson that he learned? So I thought that was very interesting, looking at that perspective. So where would you like to go from here about the masters, the employers, boss, supervisors, as they relate to employees? Or should we look at servants, employees first? Okay, in...
As far as employers to employees.
Okay. Recognize the good job they've done?
Recognize it and say it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
Yeah. These didn't come from the same questionnaire. I put the mistake comments together. And so, yeah, that's good. Treating others the way we like to be treated. The Message translation puts Matthew 7:12 this way. Here's a simple rule of thumb for guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, and then grab the initiative and do it for them. Boss, how do you want him to treat? How would you like to be treated and thus treat him? Prompt payment for wages. That's in Leviticus 19:13. I think back in the old days, it was maybe a little bit more hand-to-mouth, where somebody worked and he got paid that day, and then he went to the local grocery store and bought his flour and made his supper for the night. And when somebody withheld it, made for a hungry employee. Comments? I want to hear from you. Joel.
As I look at this, I think several things get sort of orbit the idea, but one thing I don't say explicitly mentioned is facilitating employee growth.
Employee?
Growth.
Growth, okay. Refraining from threats, Ephesians 6:9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. Forbear threatenings, knowing that your master also in heaven is also in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Just natural golden rule dealings. Colossians 4:1. Masters, given to your servants that which is just and equal. Any more comments before we switch to servants, which probably affects more of us, servants, employee, worker, Orn. That's correct, yeah.
It's really all right for us to think about.
Nathan, I think I saw your hand. I wasn't going to, but let me see here. That quote I read, what?
I don't want to derail you either.
Well, yeah, that's good. If employers can give non-Christian employees the job to help build godly character, to point him to Christ, point him in the right direction. Let's go to employees now and see what we can learn here. Everybody's serving the Lord Christ, and we may be serving the Lord Christ through serving a employer, boss, supervisor, whatever. What would you like to say? I can bring scripture verses out that talk about points here. Let's hear from you. The workaholic. 6 days thou shalt work, not more. Julian.
One of the things I think of quality of a good employee is letting your employer be you as well. You know, we have these ideals and we have these qualities that we see that we value.
Very good. That's, yeah, well, it's the golden rule.
Right.
Yeah, it happens both directions. And typically we think the more of the employee making the mistake of whatever, and the boss can make a wrong call, decision. Yeah. The golden rule, treating others the way we like to be treated. Not with eye service, just when the boss is looking, it's about time he makes his round, so I'll start pounding nails here, or you fill in the blanks. Is that my attitude, or don't I have to worry about when the time is when boss comes around? Obedient was listed several times in several different passages. Ephesians 6:5, servants be obedient. Just doing what is asked of us as employees from the employer. Our job description, what's required, and then just do it. Titus 2:9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. The not answering again, talking back, but you can maybe in a um, You can maybe request a, you know, have you thought from this perspective, as in, is this actually really a good choice? I'm not... Orne. Okay. Faithful, that talks about eye service, don't work while the boss isn't looking. Not stealing, be it time, be it product, be it whatever. Not purloining, meaning stealing, but showing all good fidelity in them that adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. I have verse 10 down, so it's in verse 10 in one of the epistles, I'm guessing. Verse 10, Ephesians 6 maybe, I don't know. Content with wages. Luke 3:14, and this is when Jesus was teaching, and he told the soldiers, well, people were coming to him and asking, what can I do? I want to change my life. What can I do? And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? And he said to them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Lavelle. I thought it was Jesus. And
John the Baptist.
You say it was?
Yes, I believe so. Maybe that's a big one.
Yeah, I wonder if you're not right. Well, still be content with your wages regardless. And to be, if you want to raise, why then make sure you're worth your pay and then... go the second mile. Go on beyond, on beyond what you're worth now, and do your employer an extra good job, in, and then he'll see it, and then you know, okay. David. Okay. So what are you saying? Are you
saying that addresses an important message to a soldier?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're non-existent people, so we take notice of those things.
Respect for masters. Let as many as servants are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor. It's not, you know, good morning, boss. It's not that type, but it's respecting what he says. Serving the Lord, Colossians 3:23 and 24. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Desire to please, Titus 2:9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, to please them well in all things. Let's hear from you. Josh.
To
Very good. Daryl.
I think I may be one of the few people who have, what is it, somewhere around 32 employers. But I have sort of the opposite effect, or opposite problem of what Josh was talking about. I usually have to tell my employers that I am their employee and remind them that they need to keep tabs on me and make sure that I'm doing my job well. So there is an aspect of letting your employee have enough freedom to do what he needs. There's also the aspect of letting him know that you are his employer and that you're interested in what he's doing.
Very good. Shane? Very good. Laverne? Lowell?
It's subject to teamwork, to work together, to team building, team whatever, it's come up different times. In basketball, there are different statistics. One of them is an assist. The person who makes an assist and helps the other person get a shot. And there's the 3-point baskets. And I don't know, the assists are probably building a team significantly, are very, very important.
There are jobs that one person can do by himself, but if a second employee is there to help, it will go more than twice as fast. A teamwork, a working together. Did I see another hand? Okay. There's some quotes I'd like to say, talking about this teamwork. Quarterbacks don't win or lose football games. Teams do. Talking about that teamwork of a working together for a team to win, it needs to have, this is my team, taking ownership and employees having an ownership in the company is a plus for the company. The greatest ability is dependability. Then here's one on the light side. The chicken is the only one who can lay around and still be a producer. Now this, it's been said of Fred Mast, a quote, he heard that some local business was looking for an employee, and he says, you know, yeah, come work for us. And Fred asks, what do you pay? And the potential employer said, whatever you're worth. And Fred's reply was, I don't work that cheap. Well, he was honest, but that's also a... Are we willing to work what we're worth? Are we willing to get paid for what we are worth? And if you don't like what you're worth, why then work at being worth more. I think that's correct. Yeah, I'm not holding it against him for saying that, but yeah. In closing, I'd like to say again, would you want you working for you? And Matthew 25:21, I think this is in the context of the parable of the talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. I trust that can be our testimony, working toward that goal when Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. Let's work at that and make that our goal. Thank you for your help.